Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode here on the 5571 podcast. I love having you all back, and thank you so much for tuning in. But if you're new here, welcome to the podcast. Welcome to the show. This is a podcast all about what's new and what's happening at the Design Resort. We talk about the latest news, the latest tips and tricks, all to make your trip a little bit easier when visiting the resort, and just to talk about the stuff we love talking about, right? Theme parks and Disney parks in general. So if that sounds good to you, make sure you hit that follow and subscribe button on whatever podcast platform you're listening on to make sure you get notified about the latest updates hitting your inboxes or your now playing section, whatever it's listed like. However, we have quite a bit of news to talk about this week, so let's go ahead and get right into it. So, starting off right away, we're going to head into the topic of Disneyland Forward. Now, I know you're probably like, oh my gosh, we've talked so much about Disneyland Forward, but tonight was a special day. I'm recording this on the night of May the 7th, and the final, more technically like a formality, meeting of the Anaheim City Council happened in order to let the city council vote on their final vote to either approve or deny Disneyland Forward. Now, the last vote that we had that, as you all know, went to almost 2 a.m, it was like 1 something in the morning, that vote was the longest one. It had the most dissent from the public, right? People who supported, people who were against. But that vote actually approved back then, and we talked about it a couple episodes ago, and we pretty much basically knew that at this point Disneyland Forward was moving forward. However, we had one more formality vote, right? Like one more chance for the public, one final vote to put it into effect to change the zoning laws, and that's what was scheduled to happen tonight. They went live a little bit earlier this evening. In fact, the Disneyland Resort specifically invited people who had been following the project or had been to previous meetings to come to the event and wear blue in support of Disneyland Forward. However, Ken Potrock also asked that the supporters didn't go to the mic to speak to their opinions about it, right? That dragged on the meeting until the early hours of the morning. And in some cases, the people who were upset had waited so long after so many people who had went to discuss why they supported Disneyland Forward. So this time around, when Ken Potrock invited, you know, the members of the public and the community who were in support of Disneyland Forward, he said, just wear blue, or if you have a Disneyland Forward shirt, wear one of those, just to commemorate that you're there to support. And he wanted to leave the mic open for people that had, you know, some concerns or had some maybe negative opinions about the rezoning of the city of Anaheim to allow something like Disneyland Forward to happen. So that, I think, was a good move. You know, the people that were upset or the people that were maybe wanting to voice some more of their concerns, they didn't have to wait in these gigantic lines, sometimes spending 8+ hours in queue, which is what some of them were doing at the previous meeting. And this time, you know, the comments were mostly negative. And that's because the positive people were asked to not speak. So it really gave everyone the opportunity who was not in favor to share their opinions, to share their concerns to the city council before they made their final vote. However, all that being said, at the end of the meeting, the city council voted once again unanimously 7-0 to approve Disneyland Forward, which means 30 days from today, the new zoning laws go into effect. So essentially, as early as June 7th, or whenever exactly 30 days is, I'm just picking like the same day a month from now. But on or around June 7th, in exactly 30 days, the new zoning laws take effect. So essentially, and again, just to reiterate, I know this might be some repetitive information for a lot of you that are in the know or you've listened to this podcast, but I'm speaking here to maybe someone that's just stumbled across a new episode that hasn't had the opportunity to kind of know what the heck we're talking about. So essentially, Disneyland Forward is an initiative put into place by Disney, a request that they had. They have all this land that they already own, and I think 90% of the land that they're asking about are existing parking lots, right? Parking lots all around Disneyland Resort that are currently used for Disneyland Resort parking in some capacity or the other, whether that's a cast member parking lot, whether that is a parking lot for Downtown Disney, a parking lot for the hotels, a parking lot like for theme parks, like Toy Story parking. So really all these parking lots, right? And in the 90s, when the city rezoned their city for all the different areas, like this area is a residential area, and this area is for retail, and this area is for public space, like all these different things. That's, you know, how a city zones their specific areas. So when they zoned the Disneyland Resort, they had zoned some of these parking lot spaces as use for parking, for shopping, and for dining. So all these spaces that Disney owned, the city said, okay, you own these spaces, but you can't build whatever you want here. You can only build these things. And at the time, Disney was okay with that, right? Because they had grown, but they hadn't reached the limit of their, you know, growable areas just yet. And they didn't really have plans or know how much they wanted to grow the Disneyland Resort. And so flash forward to, you know, 2019, when Disneyland first proposed this new initiative, this new rezoning request. They'd done this before. They did this when they were trying to build Disney California Adventure Park, back when the Disneyland Resort was just Disneyland, and there was no resort. There was no other things. There was Disneyland and a big giant parking lot. Well, Disney had to request the city at the time allow them to rezone that giant parking lot as space that they could build a brand new theme park, which would bring the theme park areas a lot closer to homes, to businesses, to small businesses, to large businesses that they weren't close to before. And so that same request was being put into play again in 2019. So all of these existing theme parks, Disney wants the ability to be able to build on these spaces more theme park space, to be able to expand the outer limits of what Disneyland Park is and what Disney California Adventure Park is. Because at the current moment, truly the only park that can expand is Disney California Adventure Park. And even then, they've almost reached their limits. And the only place that can really kind of expand is Avengers Campus, with some backstage areas that can be repurposed for some additional attractions for that land, which have already been announced multiple times for an Avengers-type ride. So truly beyond that, anything else couldn't expand. Disneyland has pretty much reached its limits. Disney California Adventure also has reached its limits. So Disneyland Forward urged the public to help support this initiative so Disneyland could continue to have space to grow and to expand for the next 30 to 40 years. I think initially when this, when Disneyland Forward was proposed, Disney had commented and had it on all their materials for this campaign for the next 30 years. And somewhere along the way during the project, the verbiage changed to 40. So I'm just saying 30 to 40 now because it's kind of been talked about by both. In fact, if you search about it, all the previous news outlets, when they first talked about it, mentioned 30, and now they're all mentioning 40. So I think it changed a little bit. But essentially, Disney's hoping to use some of this space in the next 40 years to be like, cool, we have all this open space. So if we want to build new lands, we want to build new attractions, we can do that. And we don't have to take down existing rides to do that. And that's been the problem, right? They've had to decide, okay, let's take away a beloved attraction to make something new and exciting for our guests. And they might not want to get rid of older things, right? And in some instances, they do want to get rid of older things. So it kind of just depends on the situation. And they might still get rid of older attractions to replace them with the new and reimagined ones. But at least now they have the opportunity and the option to use all this new space to move forward with expansion if they want to. And truly, this does open up a lot of different things. But in all reality, I mentioned earlier in this show, all of these spaces are parking lots, every single one of them for the most part, with very few exceptions. So if Disney wanted to use any of these spaces to expand either of their theme parks beyond their current borders, they would have to somehow supplement the parking they'd be taking away. So that's, if anything, what we'd be seeing first as far as new projects in the more recent kind of days, the days, maybe even this year or early next year, would be projects beginning on maybe a new parking structure or a new parking area to accommodate the parking they would be taking away where they'd like to expand the theme parks in the future. Now, we know Disneyland Resort is continuing to expand its borders in the past few years to try to really make itself a mainstay vacation destination, a lot like Walt Disney World has. Now, Disneyland Resort can never grow to the size of Walt Disney World, but they would love to at least grow to the point where you could really easily spend an upwards of 4 or 5 days at Disneyland instead of your typical 1, 2, maybe 3 days that typically guests would go there now. Disney really wants to make it where the basis of your trip over at Disneyland Resort, something more closely resembling what you might do for Florida. You think about the Walt Disney World theme parks. They have 4 theme parks. They have 2 water parks. They have Disney Springs. They have miniature golf courses. So in all reality, a lot of people, when planning trips to Walt Disney World, typically do 5 to 7 day vacations, which means a lot more heads on beds in the hotels, means a lot more buying meals, eating at sit-down restaurants. And in all reality, we're probably going to see a lot of Disneyland Resort change in the next few years, not only due to expansion, but really gearing itself more towards tourists, more towards a vacation destination. Disneyland Resort has always been a place where there's lots of food options, not only in the festivals, but quick service, to-go options, food all over the resort. And that's kind of like more unique to us. They still have a lot of quick service options at Walt Disney World, but I think the fun thing for tourists and something that has definitely become a family tradition for a lot of people over in Walt Disney World is getting their coveted dining reservations. So I really feel like what we see right away for changes at the Disneyland Resort all center around becoming a vacation destination. And we're already seeing that now. We're seeing Disney Vacation Club resorts pop up. We have a brand new Disney Vacation Club tower over at the Disneyland Hotel, which just opened up, the Discovery Tower, right? More catering towards the Disney Vacation Club guests, whereas before, there wasn't really a lot of options at Disneyland Resort. They only had the Villas wing over at the Grand Californian Hotel, which only really had just over, I believe, 70 villas available. So truly not really an option for Disney Vacation Club guests to be able to book something at Disneyland Resort. So a lot of times they would skip it. And see, Disney doesn't really want that to happen. They want the ability for their Disney Vacation Club guest to book California, come here, stay here, and spend money. And so we're seeing Disney Vacation Club centers being built inside the park. We have a brand new one over at Grizzly River Run in Disney California Adventure Park. They put a nice brand new Big Al statue there, right? In front of the attraction, a nod to the Country Bears that even has Magic Band interactivity. So something we don't normally see at the Disneyland Resort. We've always had Disney Vacation Club kiosks, but they've always been kind of like afterthoughts, right? They've been like little rolling carts that have like spinny picture like dioramas on them that you could like rotate and see pictures of different Disney Vacation Club resorts, but really never as integrated and as themed as they have been at Walt Disney World. But we're seeing that change now, right? We're seeing some flourishments and additions being added to the Disney Vacation Club kiosk in Tomorrowland. We're seeing the Disney Vacation Club member lounge in Tomorrowland in the Star Wars launch bay on the upper level. We're seeing the new Disney Vacation Club sales booth over there, like I mentioned, at Grizzly River Run. We're also seeing a new Disney Vacation Club sales center being built right now in the former Blue Sky Cellar over by the Sonoma Terrace in Disney California Adventure Park. So there's definitely a shift, right? And that shift is definitely also related to Disneyland Forward. They would love to continue to make Disneyland Resort a vacation destination where people come beyond just the locals. And I think Disney's really trying to find that sweet spot for Disneyland Resort and where it fits as a vacation destination. So we talked about it before. Once this gets approved, we're going to see parking be the priority right away. So, heck, we could even see construction begin as early as next month, right? And maybe it does. Maybe Disney's literally just been waiting to, like, give the green light to these, like, construction crews to just go in and start tearing down former parking lots. Now, the rumors have been pointing, all signs are pointing, right, towards the Pumbaa parking lot, the big parking lot behind all the hotels on Harbor Boulevard, the parking lot that you can access from Disney Way, just across from the Garden Walk. There's a Disney parking lot there. In the past, it was utilized more regularly by guests back in the day, like I would say early 2000s. But once Toy Story parking lot really expanded and grew and lost a majority of its cast member parking, that's when the Pumbaa parking lot became more of a cast member parking lot exclusively. So those would be the people that are displaced right away from this change, and construction would begin here to revitalize this space into a brand new Eastern Gateway. And if you search Disneyland Resort Eastern Gateway, you'll see plans for this parking structure existed back in, I think, 2016 or 17. And Disney even announced it on Disney Parks blog, and to this day still hasn't taken the article down. But that article showcases some concept artwork of a parking structure that would exist right up against the freeway behind those hotels on Harbor Boulevard, with a large pedestrian bridge connecting that parking structure to that Harbor Boulevard entrance of the Disneyland Resort. And this entrance as a whole was also a center point of rumor, being that this transportation plaza could potentially be the home or future home of the Avatar expansion for Disney California Adventure Park. So that's a lot of wild rumor, right? And we don't know if any of that's substantiated or there's any truth behind it. However, what we do know, Disneyland Forward receiving the go-ahead to move forward, which means rezoning laws take into effect in 30 days, and construction is probably going to begin any day now. And it also means that D23, the ultimate Disney fan event this coming August, is probably going to be a lot better than we could imagine, right? And Disney kind of hinted at this at some of the planning meetings. They would love to share plans of things more concretely, but they've kind of held it back. They've kind of given us a lot of what if, maybe we could do this, maybe we do that. This is a possibility. That's a possibility. And it's because everything was kind of up in the air. They didn't really know. And I think, you know, some people might say, well, yeah, but they were doing this a lot for Disney World. They were doing this, what if we built stuff beyond Big Thunder? What if we built stuff over here in Animal Kingdom? This is a proposed thing. And I think all those things are things they want to do and are probably pretty much given the go-ahead on the back end. But I think truly all of these things were reliant on whether or not Disneyland Forward received approval or not, right? Whether or not Disneyland Forward received approval meant this is how much money we could potentially spend at Disneyland Resort, but if it gets denied, we won't need this much money and we'll only need this much. So now I think they didn't want to announce any specifics just in case things did get approved. They knew that budgets might have to change, right? So they can share more concrete details now that everything's out, everything's available, and they know specifics, right? They've got the room to grow at Walt Disney World. They've got the room to grow at Disneyland Resort. They know they can share the specifics. They can finally say, hey, here's what we're going to build. Here's what we're going to do. This is it. So I think truly it all was reliant upon Disneyland Forward. And now that we have this final approval, we can kind of just put this all behind us, right? We can move forward with it and just see what it is that Disney's going to share for its growing expansion areas in any of these potential spaces, right? And again, I've talked about it in previous episodes and we'll end the topic here, but I just wanted to bring up Disneyland Forward isn't a project. So the concept art that you saw, that could never ever, that could never even show up, all that stuff. That all the spaces being completely utilized by Disney might not even happen. And in the concept artwork that they showed, it might not even happen in that way. But for right now, Disneyland just wanted to show an example of what it could be. And the reality is you know, don't get disheartened when you don't see in the next 10 years some of these spaces, some of these parking lots, like Simba parking lot. You're like, why aren't they tearing this out yet to build something here for Disney California Adventure Park? That may not be in the plans, right? They may want to start working on the Toy Story parking lot. Maybe that's a priority. They just wanted these spaces to be able to be built if they wanted to. And that was the whole point of this whole thing. It got misconstrued along the way by a lot of other content creators, a lot of major news media outlets for sure, that this was a project, right? And Disneyland Forward, once it was approved, was going to start being built. And it's like, they may or may not. They just wanted the option to do it. They needed space to be like, okay, well, now we have this room, so what's next? What should we do? Let's look at numbers. Let's see where expansion's truly needed. Is it needed at California Adventure first? Is it needed at Disneyland first? What truly needs that push, right? And so now they have the ability to be like, wow, we got all this space, so let's figure out what's next. So that's where we go. That's where we move forward. And I think right now, the best place to look is for parking, like I mentioned, since that has to be the first sign of anything that's happening for any of these projects. And then, of course, D23. So I will, of course, be there at the theme park and experiences panel on that Saturday at the Honda Center. Looking forward to it, looking forward to the event in general, and hoping we have an epic night. So, and there's a lot to look forward to even without Disneyland Forward happening at the Design Resort. So, but other than that, I think that's it for right now with Disneyland Forward. We probably won't even talk a lot about Disneyland Forward, you know, in the next few episodes, because like I mentioned, it's not truly a project that we're going to be following. It's just more so the ability for them to grow. So I think now we can focus on whatever the specific projects are they share that they're going to start building. And we know that Disneyland has been constantly dropping those hints about Avatar. So maybe that's the project we continue to focus on as they build it. And fingers crossed, at least for me anyways, that that's the first thing that's announced at D23, because I couldn't want Avatar more for Disneyland than anyone else. So I'm excited for that for sure. Next up in Disneyland Resort news, I wanted to talk about Fantasmic. Fantasmic is finally returning to the Disneyland Resort on the weekend of Memorial Day. So it's coming up here. Memorial Day weekend is the 24th, 25th, 26th, and then, of course, the holiday is the 27th. So the 24th of May, so just a few weeks away, is the day that Fantasmic returns. And an important milestone also happened today, which was dining packages for reserved viewing for Fantasmic went live on the Disneyland app. So I think at this point, the only locations that were that went live at the time of recording this podcast was the Blue Bayou. So the most expensive option. Now, prior to Fantasmic shutting down after its unfortunate incident, was Riverbell Terrace, the Blue Bayou, and Hungry Bear. And each different location had like varyingly less better viewing areas, starting with Blue Bayou being first, Riverbell Terrace being second, and then the Hungry Bear option as a to-go option being the last one. And then, of course, there's also standby for those that don't want to do any of the dining and they just want to try their luck for standby. And so today we saw Blue Bayou launch its dining packages one more time. Those are available to book. When I looked earlier today, they had some late lunch times, early dinner times available, but I think at the time of recording this, at least for opening weekend, pretty much they're all gone already. I personally think that Blue Bayou's a little too pricey for when it comes to Fantasmic dining packages, but if you're already planning on going to Blue Bayou and you want to watch Fantasmic, I think it's a no-brainer on this one. Personally, though, I think some of the other viewing areas are great in Fantasmic, and you don't have to spend that much money because it's quite a bit, especially if you have a family, $90-something dollars a person. I think it's like $98 or $96 a person to have dinner or like a late lunch. and then having reserve viewing for the show that you'd like can be kind of expensive. There are some really great to-go options. I think the Hungry Bear ones were like $28 to $30-something dollars, and that gave you a really great viewing area as well, and a nice to-go dinner that you could enjoy, or a to-go lunch. So either option. Right now, though, all we have is Blue Bayou. Now, speaking on this as well, there's been no signs that Hungry Bear is going to be returning to having Fantasmic dining packages. In fact, there's a lot of construction going on over there right now. If you've been in that area, that's going to be the next point in our news area, but Critter Country is closed. So truly, the ramp slash entrance to get to the Hungry Bear restaurant is the only access over there. The construction wall literally goes right up to the ramp where you would dine over at the Hungry Bear restaurant. So it's really impacted this area as far as like space to walk and room to kind of breathe in that Hungry Bear entrance area. It's already a pinch point because there's a very popular restroom there. There's an entrance to the Davy Crockett Canoes there, and it's the main pathway, or one of the main pathways anyway, in and out of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. So this is already a major pinch point, right? And being as how this area is still going to be closed off once Fantasmic opens, because they're still going to be working on Critter Country and Tiana's Bayou Adventure, it doesn't really make a lot of sense that Hungry Bear would be utilized for some of the cheaper dining package options. And you might think some other restaurant could step in as an option for to-go Fantasmic dining packages. So you start to think about the restaurants that are around the Rivers of America. Well, today there was some instances where all of a sudden the Rancho del Zocalo restaurant at Disneyland Park, which is a Mexican-style restaurant there in Frontierland, just along the river's edge, had an option to like book reservations, which if you don't know what that is, that's a quick service restaurant. It's not a table service restaurant. So the option to build reservations for that restaurant seemed weird. The community on Reddit pulled it up right away, saw it, and then immediately the reservation or the restaurant was taken off the app. In fact, at the time of recording this episode, you couldn't even search Rancho del Zocalo to check its menu, to order any food there, to do anything. And if you searched for Rancho del Zocalo on Google, you would get the first link, you know, as a search result to be able to click on it. But when you clicked on the link, it would take you to that Stitch page where it says, uh-oh, looks like someone ate the page. And it had like Stitch with the broken link. So there's something definitely going on there. My theory is that Rancho del Zocalo is going to be the new home for to-go options for Fantasmic. So instead of crowding that area over there by Critter Country, where it doesn't really need to be crowded in this way, they're going to do Fantasmic dining packages at Rancho del Zocalo. And again, this isn't confirmed, and who knows? Maybe at the time this podcast actually goes live, Disney does confirm it. But when I'm recording this anyway, it's just a theory based on kind of all the weird stuff that's been happening today with it. Disney did share, of course, today Fantasmic dining packages were out for Blue Bayou, and they said additional locations would show up later. So this could be it. Now, we did see changes to the menu over at Rancho del Zocalo, some positive, some negative. Most people were pretty upset about the taco salad, that tostada salad being taken away, and it looked like there was a big move away from a majority of the items coming with rice and beans, and instead coming with chips, which seems a little bit like a cost-cutting measure. However, a simplification of the menu would really make sense when it comes to doing Fantasmic dining packages, and the restaurant has a pretty good queue already set up in place inside to be able to accommodate the influx of guests that are all coming at the same time to redeem their Fantasmic dining packages closer to the show. And I think that's the big issue, is if you ever did the Fantasmic dining packages at Hungry Bear, there were some times later in the day where redeeming your dining package to get your meal and to get your ticket for your respective show, you could be waiting in like really, really long lines. So I always recommended that people book lunch reservations for these to-go options, where you eat your lunch, that's your lunch to go, and then you're given a ticket that night for a showtime that you wanted or that you had reserved for. And so that was always a better option because you weren't faced with those long queues. You got the dining out of the way, and you weren't rushing to scarf down your meal because you waited most of the time that you had allotted in line to get your actual meal and then rush to your dining space reserved for you at Fantasmic. So I think once they become available, whatever restaurant's going to be hosting them, my biggest tip is to grab a lunch or late lunch reservation and get that out of the way. That way you've got a meal taken care of already, but you're not having to deal with the long lines, and you can casually walk up and get a space in your designated area, hopefully at the earlier end of your time, where you have enough time to do so, so that you can get a better spot. Because even though you are guaranteed a section, your section is still first come, first serve. So if you're looking to be like right at the front of your section, right up against that railing, you're going to have to be there early. At the earliest possible time, they'll allow you to come. And the ticket that you're given will indicate when that will be. So lots still up in the air. And like I mentioned, this episode could come out tomorrow and Disney has already posted everything. That could very well be the case. But as of right now, it's not out just yet. So lots still pending when it comes to Fantasmic. But the good news is we're just weeks away. And I'm excited to see, right? We know Fantasmic is changing. We obviously know there's going to be a new ending since the dragon no longer exists. But Disney already had shared a little bit of a teaser saying the ending is still a battle between Maleficent and Mickey. So there is some battle still there. And how they depict that battle, that's what we're all waiting to see, right? The original dragon that we had no longer exists. So they have some sort of new thing in place. And so that's what we're all waiting to see what they do. And Disney also used the time away to dream up some new additions to Fantasmic, some new magical extras, they called it, or something like that. So we know that Walt Disney World just debuted their Fantasmic with some additions from Moana and from Frozen. So maybe we get something like that. We do already have a new version of Fantasmic that added like Lion King and Aladdin and Tangled. So there were already some things added to the show that weren't there originally. So changing it again would really kind of keep it fresh and new, especially for the younger audiences. But I think overall in general, the opinion of Fantasmic has always been like extremely positive. So looking forward to seeing it. Happy to have it back on the entertainment roster. And I'll definitely be there on opening night. So we'll talk about it after we experience it and share all the spoilers for that day for what actually happened. And I'll definitely be trying to do the to-go option of the dining package that weekend. So whatever that option is, I will probably have done it. And I'll share my experience with that too, since I think that's the best overall option for most people. And lastly, for the Disneyland Resort news, we had a halfway to Halloween post from the Disneyland Resort, as well as Walt Disney World and Disney Cruise Line, talking about some of the Halloween parties, Halloween decor, Halloween costumes and merchandise that would be coming to all the different resorts. But specifically, of course, we're going to be talking about Disneyland. And they, of course, confirmed dates for Oogie Boogie Bash. So we knew earlier this year when Disney shared with us that calendar that at that point they already shared Oogie Boogie Bash would be coming back. So we knew it would be coming, but we didn't know dates. And people are definitely going to want to start planning their times for visiting vacations around the time of the Oogie Boogie Bash period, right? And we're also just a couple months away. As we know, Halloween time at the Disneyland Resort is starting earlier than ever this year at August 23rd. So we knew that if Oogie Boogie Bash was coming back, was it going to start as early as the Halloween season, or was it going to wait a little bit later in the month of September as it had in the past? So Disney shared that this time they would have the most date events for Oogie Boogie Bash in the history of the event. And I think the first event night is going to be Sunday, August 25th. So Sunday, August 25th. So just 2 days after the Halloween season begins at Disneyland is the first event night. So I thought that was also kind of weird too, because I felt like the first party night's always usually like a Tuesday or a Thursday. So having it be a Sunday was also pretty unique as well. But all in all, there's going to be 27 different party nights to choose from, like I mentioned, as early as August 25th, going all the way until Halloween Day on October 31st. Disney did share the pricing. Pricing would start at $134 a person and can go as high as $189 a person, depending on the night that you chose. So a little bit of an increase there, but as expected. We don't know any details about the event so far other than, the normal things Disney shares on the Oogie Boogie Bash website, which I believe is already live. So if you go to Disneyland.com, or I think if you're in the Disneyland app and you search Oogie Boogie Bash, I think it just brings up like general information, like which dates are available, what the prices are, what you can expect. And they typically, you know, they highlight the things that we always see, like the Frightfully Fun Parade, the treat trails, the special food, stuff like that. Disney also shared a look at the merchandise coming to the event. Specifically, they showed like the general logo t-shirt for the event and then the Magic Key t-shirt. The Magic Key t-shirt had a really fun like tie-dye vibe to it. And then the regular event shirt had like other villains on it and had that kind of purple green look that it normally has. Both look pretty cool, and I'm sure both will sell pretty well as well, too. People love having that Magic Key exclusive merchandise. They didn't share when tickets would go on sale. Just mentioned that they would be sharing details about that soon. I think last year we saw tickets go on sale in July, so we can expect it to go on sale in just a couple months here. But all in all, it's cool that we're going to have so many different nights available for this. And so many more options for people to get tickets, because I know Oogie Boogie Bash sold out pretty quickly in all the previous years, and I feel like a lot of people who really wanted to go couldn't go. But we don't know details on what might be new, right? We don't know which details of like which villains are going to be leaving, which new villains are going to be added. We don't usually find out that until later, closer to the event. So you do have to kind of buy the ticket blind and hoping that you're going to be happy with what the new things are. But also, if you just wanted to go to the event and, you know, doing this event has become sort of like your staple as far as like a tradition at Halloween time, then maybe that's enough for you as well. But in the past, they've always done a Magic Key like pre-sale before general sale goes live. And I know this last time around for like Disney Channel night, they had like Inspire Key go first, which was weird. So maybe they do something like that again for this Oogie Boogie Bash ticket sale. So we'll have to kind of wait and see what that's looking like. But that's pretty much all they shared at the halfway to Halloween post as far as Disneyland Resort's concerned. They did share some merchandise and stuff like that. Like we're going to be getting a Minnie Mouse version of the iconic large like light up Mickey pumpkin decor item that they sell that's been going viral the last couple years that it came out. They're going to have a Minnie Mouse version of that. So that I'm sure will go equally as viral and will sell out immediately. So keep, and usually we see merchandise show up in August for Halloween. So, and when you think about in the scale of things, we're in May and we're, you know, almost in like mid-May next week. So, you know, then we have June, July, and then it's already August. So when you think about the grand scale of like how far away Halloween is, it doesn't seem that far away, to be honest. And honestly, we're not even that far away from D23. So it seems like everything's going to come here so quickly before we know it. So all in all, I'm excited for Halloween season. I'll probably go to Oogie Boogie Bash. I usually do. It's a fun event for me to attend. So I always want to do it whenever it comes through. Whether or not they add a bunch of new things or not, I just find a lot of value in going to it. And it's usually something I plan on. So typically I know I'm going to do Oogie Boogie Bash and then I'll pick like one other After Dark event to do. And this year it was Disney Channel night. So, but I'm looking forward to seeing what the details are coming out for this one as far as who's new and who's next when it comes to that villain list. But I think that wraps up all the updates of what's new and what's happening at Disneyland Resort. Thanks for joining me on this episode, and I hope you enjoyed listening along. Like I mentioned earlier, if you haven't already, please make sure you're subscribed or following this podcast on whatever platform you're listening. I am a Spotify podcast, but I'm available on pretty much all platforms. I heard from someone the other day in the theme parks when I was there filming a video for my YouTube channel that they listened to my podcast on their Alexa device. So that was kind of cool. I didn't even know like you could do that. I mean, I think maybe I knew that, but I didn't know like you could just do it without having like a subscription linked to it or something like that. So, but it is on iHeartRadio podcasts, on Apple podcasts, Spotify podcasts, YouTube music podcasts. So, I tried to link as many services as I could so it would be, distributed, you know, as far as possible. So make sure you're subscribed or following on whatever it is that you're listening to. And also leave a review if you can on that respective platform. That also helps the podcast get discovered as well. And I hope you enjoyed my special guest last week with Ashley from Mouse Vibes. I had a lot of fun having her on. I definitely hope to have her back again soon. I know some people really enjoyed that too. I got some feedback surrounding that, so thanks for sending it in. And if you'd love to share feedback, some questions about some future episode topics you'd like to do, I have an email address, danny@justaskdanny.com, so you can send it there. And if you'd like to follow me on social media, I'm most active on Twitter/X, whatever you want to call it now. My username there is justaskdanny. I'm also on Instagram, trying to post more there now. That's also Just Ask Danny. And then you can search my YouTube channel, also called Just Ask Danny. And I try to do content there at least once a week if I can. It's a little bit hard sometimes with doing the podcast, doing a full-time job, and the YouTube channel. But I'm trying. So got to get the latest video out from some Star Wars weekend fun, so you guys can check that out and see some of the things I got to try and do. And then we'll continue, of course, covering any updates and changes that happen at Disneyland, since I do a pretty consistent video update there called What's New and What's Happening. So very similar to this podcast, but kind of more of a visual representation. So once again, I want to thank you all for listening, and we'll see you in the next one.